So I'd like to welcome everyone who is here for the kickoff of the 40 Days for Life and also the 40 Days for Lent. And so tonight we've gathered to give praise and worship to God, to give Him thanks, and to receive Him in His body, blood, soul, and divinity, the Eucharist. We also come together to pray for all of those who have been impacted by abortion, the children, the moms, the dads, the families, and yes, even entire communities. We come together to recognize the suffering and the difficulties that are inherent with abortion and everything that leads to that decision. We come with our arms open wide, just like Jesus on the cross, to welcome anyone who is currently in this situation, to let them know that there are alternatives, including adoption by others, to let them know that there is hope, to let them know that they are not alone, to let them know that we are not here to judge, but we are here to help, and to let them know that their pregnancy is a gift. It's a gift from God. And to let them know, just like the prophet Jeremiah, that God knew their child before they were formed in the womb. And to let them know that God can take their struggle, that God can take their difficulty and make it something good and beautiful and meaningful. So in the first reading from Genesis today, there's a flood, and God wipes away all the wickedness from the earth. And now, through His Son Jesus dying on the cross, He now wipes away the sins of the world with His divine mercy. And that divine mercy is not contained, it is not limited, but it incorporates all of our sins to include abortion. It's important for us to remember as we continue to fight for the dignity of life from the moment of conception to natural death, that there are still many people out there who are suffering from the effects of having an abortion. And maybe there's one of you here tonight, or maybe someone online who knows exactly what I mean. So I want to say something to you. I want you to know God loves you. And He wants to take away any pain, any hurt, any guilt, any shame, any suffering. He wants to take it away from you. And He wants you to be reconciled with Him. But I also want you to know that if you've had an abortion in the past, please allow this to become a gift of the future. And this is so countercultural to what people would say, but it is at the very heart of the Paschal mystery, where God takes something tragic, something sad, and He uses it for good moving forward. Your story could help someone else choose life. Your story does make a difference. Allow God to use your life to make a difference in someone else's life. And in this case, maybe two people, the mother and the child. So in the gospel reading today, we hear Jesus talking about guarding against the leaven of the Pharisees and of Herod. And we too, in our current day, must guard against the leaven of corruption and difficulty in our own society. Our society and our culture are turning upside down what freedom means. Society wants to say that freedom means that you can choose whatever you want, and that's okay. But the truth of the matter is, freedom is not choosing what you want, but choosing what is right and what is truth. And in a world of relativism, the idea of truth to so many people is how they want to live their lives and what suits them. But the reality is that there is only one truth. There is only one way. There is only one life, and there is only one way to true, authentic freedom, and His name is Jesus Christ. There are so many things in society today that lead to having an abortion that are counter to church teaching. And in my earlier years, I would not have thought that would be the case. I had different views as well. But Jesus, you see, He's changed my heart. So I share these truths with you now out of love from the very depth of my heart. The use of birth control, sex outside of marriage, and marriage outside the church have greatly contributed to the problem of abortion. And one may ask, well, how can that possibly be? And I would say to you, the answer is very simple. Because from the very beginning of creation, God's plan for man and woman was one of mutual self-giving, one of complementing one another, where the two become one. You see, intimacy was never intended to be a commodity of our own self-satisfaction. This intimacy was intended to be life-giving, lifelong, in unity, a man and a woman to one another in the sacrament of marriage, which is where we find the domestic church, the family. And the foundation of the family is so important in all of this, because this is where we learn our values and our morals and what is right and wrong. But society today is dismantling what it means to be married and even what it means to be a family. So we must promote, we must protect the sanctity of life, the sanctity of marriage, and the sanctity of the domestic church, our families. You see, if laws are going to be changed, if abortion is ever going to be something that's in our rearview mirror, it must start right here in the hearts of each and every one of us. People must have a change of heart. People must come to know the truth, who is Jesus. Because it is only through the power of Jesus that anyone's heart can be changed, that conversion can be brought about in their life. So it's perfect that the 40 days for life coincides with the 40 days of Lent. Because you see, we're called to a greater level of prayer, and a greater level of fasting, and a greater level of almsgiving. And we have to be intentional in doing this to the point that we are really sacrificing in our own lives. Because when we offer the sacrifice of our life to God, He returns it abundantly more than whatever we thought we were giving. So please pray for those who are considering abortion. Please pray for those who work in the abortion clinic, that their hearts might be changed. Please pray for our politicians who vote to allow abortion. And make these prayers sacrificial. So when you go to pray for these things, don't just sit at home. Come to adoration on Thursday nights and spend an hour praying for them in front of the Blessed Sacrament. When you're going to pray for them, don't pray for them at home. Come to Mass 30 minutes early and kneel in front of the tabernacle and pray for those people. When you go to do your rosary on each little bead, pray a special intention for those people. Because see, our prayers, they have supernatural benefits, not only for us, but for those around us. And when we intentionally sacrifice in this way, it is even more efficacious. So when fasting from food or something that you love to do, offer that fast for those who have had an abortion and for their sanctification. When you go to fast, offer it for those little souls who have died. We often think of almsgiving as giving money or goods. But I want you to consider this Lent, that almsgiving is the giving of your time, maybe out in front of the abortion clinic or some other agency that supports abortion, and spend your time there holding a sign. Spend your time there praying with others that are there, and maybe spending your time encountering someone who's going to the clinic, because maybe that's where God needs you to be. So let me end where I began. We're all gathered here tonight to pray for those who have had an abortion, for those who are contemplating an abortion, and Lord, may it come soon, for an end to abortion. But in all cases, Jesus is the answer. His love is the answer. His mercy is the answer. And Jesus is ready to meet any person in any situation, no matter where they are. And I would only say one more thing. Maybe the Jesus they're going to meet is you. Maybe it's you. Take the time to sacrifice. Go where you don't want to go. Go where God's calling you to go. And maybe you will be the Jesus that person needs to meet.